Daniel Carcillo, who you know from his time in the NHL, mainly with the Philadelphia Flyers and the Chicago Blackhawks, has filed a class action lawsuit alongside a former Western Hockey League player by the name of Garrett Taylor, alleging, let's just put it this way, grotesque abuses when both played in their respective junior leagues. Daniel Carcillo for the Sarnia Sting of the Ontario Hockey League and the aforementioned Garrett Taylor playing for Lethbridge out west. This class action lawsuit was filed in a Toronto court yesterday. An hour ago, I read a paragraph from Ken Campbell's piece on this matter in the Hockey News. I felt that that was probably the only way to appropriately detail the allegations, because they are absolutely mortifying. And if they are true, this rips the veneer of hockey culture right off of its moorings. And this is now into the light, out of the darkness, and needs attention. And Ken Campbell is good enough to take some time this morning to join us. Ken, I teed this up. I don't have kids myself, but I do have a nephew and a niece. My nephew is not quite 6 years old, will be later this summer, and I picture him in a junior hockey environment some 10 years from now, experiencing this, and my rage goes from 0 to 100 in a nanosecond, and I envision myself finding the perpetrators of anyone who could do what is alleged by Carcillo and Taylor to my nephew, and subsequently spending the remainder of my life in prison for the reaction I had to it. This is horrible, horrible stuff. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Well, there is no other way to put it. The allegations are some of the worst examples of bad conduct that I've ever seen in and outside the game. I think one thing that has to be stressed is none of these allegations have been proven in court. So there's still that process to go through. But if these allegations are true, then to me, there's got to be a complete and utter overhaul of the junior hockey system in Canada. I would think that law enforcement officials would get involved. I would suspect there would even be a federal government inquiry into something like this. If this is true, this is abhorrent. You're right. There's no other way to put it.
How much do the leagues know, or have you reached out to them, I guess, to ask, you know, which, league officials, I guess, or commissioners knew what was happening involving any of these allegations?
Oh, yeah, I've reached out to all of them. I've reached out to Dan McKenzie with the Canadian Hockey League, to David Branch, to Ron Robison, to Jill Courteau, to Mike Dick, the coach that was involved in Lethbridge, to pretty much everyone. And as you can imagine, they've closed ranks. They put out a statement last night, or at least the OHL did, saying, we haven't been served with anything yet, so we're not going to comment. But there has been, a fair bit of radio silence on the other side at this point, which I think is probably what you would expect. I could imagine, though, behind the scenes, there's an awful lot of people asking an awful lot of difficult questions about this stuff, and maybe doing some reflection and that sort of thing. But I suppose it will all come out at some point, and it's a class action, so there's, obviously the opportunity for other players to join the class action lawsuit and tell their stories. So we certainly probably haven't seen the last of it.
Ken Campbell from the Hockey News is with us. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're discussing Daniel Carcillo and Garrett Taylor's class action lawsuit against the Canadian Hockey League and the three leagues under its umbrella, the Western League, the Ontario League, the Quebec League, alleging effectively sexual abuse and just miserable hazing rituals that tear away the souls of boys. I'm not even going to call them young men, of children, of boys. And that particularly in Carcillo's case, there are allegations that the coach not only knew but took part in some of what went on. Ken, I've read your work for a very long time, the Toronto Star, the Hockey News. You have been around the game for many, many years. When you talk about if these allegations are true, it would require a fundamental deconstruction of the Canadian Hockey League so that it be built back up. To what do you refer? And I'm not placing the burden of solutions to all of this in your lap, but I'm just wondering if you've given it any thought as to what you mean by that statement and some of the steps that might be necessary to take.
Well, I just think that for the longest time, for many, many years, junior hockey operated under kind of a bit of a bubble. And I think a lot of that, as you said, the veneer is being stripped away. Just 2 or 3 days ago, we had another player allege that he was forced to do cocaine at a rookie party when he was a rookie with the Kitchener Rangers. And Daniel Carcillo, like, I think what the problem here is that not only that they happened, but that they allegedly happened, but they also allegedly happened with almost the tacit encouragement of the people who were in charge of caring for these young men. When you send your son away to junior hockey, to play junior hockey at the age of 16, 17, 15, whatever, they make a promise that they're going to take care of your kid and that they're going to look out for the best interests of your kid. And clearly what's being alleged in some of these cases is that that wasn't what happened. And I think that's kind of the most disturbing thing is that, and even in the case of Eric Guest, I mean, what was disturbing was that it allegedly happened, but what was also disturbing was he didn't feel as though he could go to anyone to tell them about it. For fear of the sort of the repercussions on his career. So, when I talk about a fundamental change, I think everyone in this game at all levels, we're seeing at all levels, have to take a look at sort of the toxic masculinity that seems to be part of all of this and really sort of reexamine, what people are doing and the effects that it's having on some of these young men, because I can imagine if any of those things happened to me or to my children, that there would be some pretty long lasting, psychological scars that would be left by that.
How far back do you think this is going to run? Because we were talking earlier on the show and I went to the King. I got drafted by the Kingston Frontenacs in 97. Uh-huh. And that was the summer that CBC kind of came out with a special report documentary, I'm not sure what to call it, on the hazing in junior hockey. And it almost like it kind of got erased that year. Like you didn't really hear of a lot of stories from other rookies. When I went to under 17, we almost had an incident that happened with our team. It was kind of talked about on the bus and then got squashed by Larry Mavity and nothing was done to any of the rookies. Of those stories that you heard back in the 90s. And I just, kind of curious to see how far back this is going to run.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself. I mean, the reaction I've been getting on Twitter from people who have been inside the game have said, this kind of stuff's been going on for a long time and it's been going on under everyone's noses. And a former player read, was reading it and said to me last night, "Oh yeah, the hot box. I mean, yeah, that was just standard, right?" And I'm not going to describe what happens in the hot box for junior hockey, but that at one time, and I'm sure it's different now, but at one time, getting hot boxed was a rite of passage almost. I mean, that was considered tame. So yeah, it probably does go far back, and it probably goes very deep.
And it is tied to, Ken, I think shame. Mm-hmm. And all of this, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a psychologist. I just need to clarify that. I think people know I'm hosting a radio show, and I don't have a psychology degree. I didn't spend the 12 years in school required to get one. But human life experience, it stands to reason that all of this has tentacles. Mm-hmm. The racism, the rampant homophobia, the homoeroticism.
Yep.
There's a direct link there. Some of the activity that is alleged to have taken place is homoerotic. Mm-hmm. Just the general shame and the general damage that is done. There is no argument that can be made by any rational person that this has anything to do with team building, that mm-hmm. this has anything to do with male bonding, rites of passage, none of it. It's sick and it's evil. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth of it. And the fact that some adults are alleged to have overseen this and taken part in the whipping of a naked 16-year-old player's buttocks with a belt. I mean, all of that's, it's just, I just don't understand on what level any of this can be considered normal or well-adjusted.
And the thing too, Scott, is you know, I mean, you keep hearing about hockey and players and teams, and when you play for that team, you're a brotherhood, right? Everybody talks about this brotherhood and we're family and we're this and we're that. Like, I mean, would you ever want anyone in your family to go through something like that? And would you ever do that to someone in your family? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't square up, as they'd say, you know? I mean, on the one hand, you can't say that, you know, you're this family that's willing to, you know, have everyone's back and go through all these things together and you know, and be united and then do these kinds of things to these kids. Like, I can't imagine anyone would ever do that to someone that they claim to be in their family, or that they would stand for it to be done to them.
Well, so, Ken, or, yeah, I mean, or Ken, is it just so much part of the culture that it happens to you at 16, you end up the perpetrator at 19, yep. and yep. you may feel the shame and you don't know what's wrong with you or why you're feeling certain ways, but you've just come to understand at such an impressionable age, this is what happens, this is how it goes, and if I talk about this, I'm going to be the weird guy out on the island. Akeem mm-hmm. Aliou has talked about this, has talked about the racism, has talked about his refusal to participate in the hot box, and the next thing he knows, he was swallowing his teeth because Steve right. Downey punched him in the face at practice the next day. If you right. stand up and say no, you're the problem, apparently. That's what this
exactly.
culture perpetuates.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't have put it any better myself. I mean, that is bang on. And I think it, you know, obviously I'm not saying anything new here, but it is a culture thing, and the culture has to change. And you know, we're seeing a lot of things in the world right now that are earth-shattering and earth-changing. Or you know, sort of, you know, really sort of shaking everything to its foundation, and maybe this is another one of those things where people are no longer going to just sit back and take these things and not say anything and be the good soldier here. You know, I mean, I think that's part of what this lawsuit is all about. I know that the two people that are involved in it, that's what they want. You know, I know I spoke to the mother of Garrett Taylor yesterday, and I'll be writing a blog on the conversation I had with her later today. But she basically said, you know, we love hockey. It's still our favorite sport. We all love it. We're not doing this because we hate hockey. We're doing it because we don't want this to happen to somebody else's kid. And maybe this is the, you know, maybe this is the tipping point. Maybe it is. I mean, you'd have to hope if it's this bad, and it's, and I think you have to also point out that I think the vast majority of major junior franchises in the CHL, especially now, are pretty mindful of this stuff and are very mindful of looking out for the best interests of the kids. And I think a lot of them do that. But even if it's a, even if it's just a very, very tiny minority, that's one too many or two too many. And it's got to stop.
Yeah. If the system allows for the troubled minority to run amok, then it overshadows all of the good ones. I think you could make the same argument right now about the policing situation, right? Most police officers are good people, but the system and its structure allows for the bad apples to take too much advantage of their power. Yeah. And it would be similar here.
Yeah, and I mean, you hear the term bad apples, right? Like with, you know, when you're talking about the police, well, you know, there's a few bad apples. Well, there shouldn't be any.
Correct.
Know? These people are held to a higher standard, and there shouldn't be any bad apples. You know, and I think it was Chris Rock, the comedian, who said, yeah, imagine if United Airlines, you know, had the same sort of attitude. Yeah, the vast majority of our pilots are really good and good at what they do. But, you know, we do have a couple of bad apples.
Yeah.
You know, would you ever get on a plane, right? So, yeah, I mean, there shouldn't be any. There shouldn't be any. I mean, these people are dealing with young people who are impressionable, who are at an age where, you know, they're very vulnerable. They're away from home. They're away from their support network. You know, they're being entrusted to the, to their safety is being entrusted to, you know, to others. And you can't have any bad apples. You can't have even one. That's one too many.